grace to you and peace with God, our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Reformation Sunday, that day when all the Lutherans get together and we think over much of ourselves. But we remember the beginning of a revolution. We call it the Reformation, but really it's a kind of revolution that changed the world. Several years ago, Time magazine did an article on the top 10 figures in history, and Martin Luther was number 2 or number 3. He was not far below Jesus as one of the great changers of society. Why does it matter and why should we care? Luther lived in a time and in a place where the church had become perhaps too full of itself, and from Luther's perspective had begun to lose its way. And he drew it back to the Word, to that covenant where God said, "You will be my people and I will be your God." Listen to the words of Jeremiah. "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and it will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors, when I took them by the hand to take them out of the land of Egypt. It will be a new covenant. And no longer will they have to know the law, because I will put the law inside them and I will write it on their hearts and I will be their God." It's a vision, a powerful vision, in which God's people become a part of this God who loves them. Now, you all know that for much of the life of the church, and really kind of still existing in our church today, our relationship with God has sort of been built on the law. You know how it goes. You know how it all works in your life. There are certain rules that you follow, and if you follow them, you're good. You're all right. You're okay. And even today, a lot of us sort of function as if I could just do things a certain way, then God will love me. Luther proposed, when he read that text in Romans, that little piece of text that says that we're no longer under the law, but that God's love is given as a free gift. When he read that, suddenly all of this stuff about how we can be in relationship with God by just following the rules and doing things a certain way began to unfold and become undone. And people liked it. It's hard for us to imagine in our day, these days, that there could be a time when people's faith and understanding of Scripture and church was so important that when this little German monk came out and started raising the idea that they could read Scripture and that God loved them for who they are, and that the law and tradition were not at the center of everything, that they would literally tear the world apart. Can you imagine Lutherans these days running around burning churches for Jesus? It was that important. It was a revolution. People suddenly set free to not only read Scripture, but to understand it and debate about it and talk about it. This, even the Mass that we're doing today, which seems maybe for some of us a bit old and stilted, was revolutionary. 1526, Luther rewrites the Mass. People can sing in church. You could participate in church. It was revolutionary. Who heard of such a thing? So I ask, what happened to the revolution? What happened? Would you describe the church today as revolutionary? This weekend at a conference, Former Bishop Steve Bowman reminded me of a quote from a book I read a while back by Annie Dillard. She writes this about churchgoers. Why do people in churches seem like cheerful, brainless tourists on a packaged tour of the absolute? Does anyone understand the power that we so blithely invoke, or don't we believe it? She says that one day the waking God will draw us out to a place from which we can never return. And that place is discipleship, to a life of discipleship. That quote struck me this weekend as being a little convicting. Steve Bowman talked about how the church has become too centered on itself. It's forgotten its roots as a fringe of society. And he talks about the story of when the woman with the issue of blood, who was not Jewish, was trying to touch Jesus' robe, and she struggled to touch the fringe of his robe and was healed. And he said, you know, if we want to return to discipleship, we need to become the fringe of Jesus' robe. He said the problem with the church today is that we've become so insular and so folded in on ourselves that the town around us can't even touch our fringe. The revolution of the church begins not in our organizational structure or in the redoing of our constitution, but in a return, as we sang in that hymn, to God's Word, the source of our freedom. We've become so accustomed to the pre-packaged tour that sometimes we do act like brainless tourists. Years ago, when Jeannie and I used to, before we had kids, a long time ago, this is how we did our vacation. We got into the car, we started the car, and we drove. Where are you going? I don't know yet. There was no prepackaging. In a way, this gift of grace is that kind of trip. We're not absolutely sure where God's love and where God's grace is going to lead us yet. But we know that wherever that place is, God will be present there. Sometimes we're so afraid to reach out into our community and into the world to expose ourselves to the inherent risks that we cease to be the church altogether. We're like those tourists that we laugh at in Waikiki, who never leave the bus. Look, there's a beach. Look, there's a statue. Look, but never reach out and touch. Never put your feet in the sand and feel the water wash over you. I think the gift that Luther brought the church was to draw us out of the dang bus, to call us solidly into the world, into the water, into the sand and the muck, and become part of it, and to share it. That is nothing less than a revolution. That God has set us free. Now here's a thought: set us free from being the church, to be God's disciples. I think maybe Annie Dillard is right in some ways. That if what we are is brainless tourists on a package tour of the absolute, we need a little shake-up. We need to be reminded of this gift that, as it says in Scripture, in that wonderful text in John, has set us free. Free from the bounds of the law. Free from the bounds of tradition. To be sent in the world, into the world, for God's sake. Well, what will that discipleship look like? Well, first, it must be grounded in God's word, that word of grace and peace and justice and life. And not just the parts we like. We can't just read John 3:16 every day and go, gosh, that's nice. For God so loved the world that God gave his only son to die for us. But we've also got to read Ezekiel that says, you know what? It's not enough to keep chanting the same thing over and over again. You've got to go out into the world and share it. You've got to return to God again and again. You've got to admit that indeed you are not all that, but God is. Discipleship will be lived out in service to the community. I know it's not enough for us to continue to be comfortable in our little surroundings. What was wonderful about the Reformation is that it sort of blew the walls out of the church. If we could participate in that freedom that Jesus Christ gives us, we ought to blow the walls out of this church. Let it breathe. Let all kinds of people come in and out whenever they wanted to. Pastor Don remembers a time when there were no walls. So the garbage truck sort of went over the sermon. Sometimes that can be a good thing. But imagine a church without walls filled with the Holy Spirit. That would be discipleship. Imagine no longer being afraid to go out and feed the hungry, to share a word of hope. The Reformation is not something that happened in the 1530s through the 1570s and 80s into the first part of the 17th century and then quit. It is a movement that continues today. God is still reshaping us. God is still reforming us into God's image. So hear these words. The days are surely coming, and they are already here, when God will make a covenant with our house. And it's not going to be the old covenant, but it is a new covenant of the gift of grace for the making of disciples of all nations. In the name of the Lord. Amen.